24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. Hello, and welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. Vibe is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, and expectation. And it's also short for the word vibration. So as I always ask, what is your vibration saying? In other words, how are you feeling? Because your feelings project outwards as a vibration, and your feelings are based on what you're thinking about. So if you don't know or don't like how you feel, then change what you're thinking about. Get yourself back into alignment by asking yourself, what do I want? So that you can attract in circumstances and experiences that will get you what you want. We're living in unprecedented times. The year 2020 is a year that we will never forget. And it's a time of isolation. It's a time where we have to change our priorities, and in this period of isolation, I have found that I've had to re-look at what is valuable to me. My values have changed, my priorities have changed, my way of doing things has changed, and I'm sure that this is not just my experience, but also your experience too. And it's made me more introspective. Now, for me personally, going into this period of isolation, as it were, wasn't so much of a transition of where I was before, because I'd actually taken some time out to write my current book, and I started that since July 2019. And I was actually at that time craving isolation because I had so much information or distraction coming at me. I was like, I just need time, because the way that I worked on my book is I believe that it was literally just channeled through me. And I really wanted to be able to attune my ear to what spirit was saying to me so that I could convey information to you. So today's show, I want to talk about judgment. Sounds really heavy, doesn't it? To say I want to talk about judgment. And I want to talk about God's word, because as you know, I see myself as a spiritual teacher, even though I fix myself or niche myself in the area of dating and relationship. If you'll notice, it will always have a spiritual feel to it. Hence the acronym vision, intention, belief, and expectation. And so today I want to talk about judgment, because it fits under the umbrella of vision in as much as how you see yourself. And I would like to delve into this area. So have your ears open. Let's truly begin. Now, what I found through my experience is that when you begin to understand God's word, and I'm speaking especially to perhaps newcomers who have, you know, come to know Christ, have perhaps entered into the church world, the spiritual world, and you're using God's word to connect to yourself. Well, when you first hear God's word, you will actually hear it on a surface level, a superficial level, almost as if the words are being thrown like oil. Let me use oil as an analogy, strange analogy, but it's almost like throwing oil on water. So it's on the surface, but it hasn't quite sunk in. However, as you hear more of the word, as you hear more of scriptural word, it will begin to feel heavier and it will start to penetrate your skin. So let's use that as an analogy. So for example, words like judge not. You hear that, we hear that all the time, don't we? Judge not. Yes, we mustn't judge our neighbor, but the thing is, if you don't understand why you mustn't judge, it's not going to stick. So you can know what to do. In other words, don't judge. In other words, judge not. But when you know your why, it makes your what have more impact. So in other words, you know that you shouldn't judge because the Bible tells you so. But when you know the why of why you shouldn't judge, then it has more impact. So it was that important that I had to say it twice, or I had to say it in a different way for you to get it. So judge not is your what, but when you know the why, it makes more impact. There, I said it three times. So a dream, or let's say an illusion, a dream, an illusion that came into the mind that God created perfect as himself, which is you. We first see that in Genesis. We see that in Genesis, in the story of Adam and Eve, where God created man, and he created a mind that was perfect as himself. So you've heard me say before, I am perfect. Now, I'm not saying that I do perfect things, but I'm saying that when God created me, when he created you, he created you as perfect. And I believe that that is how God sees you, but it is us that sees ourselves different. And we can see that through the Adam and Eve story, in that they became separate from God. They cut themselves off from God when Eve took the fruit, when she bought into the illusion that the snake gave her, and she felt that she was less than herself. She felt that she was not enough, and so therefore she bit into the fruit. In other words, she bit into a lie. And the other day I woke up with these words in my mind. It is in the cause of our pain is in our separation, but it's in the isolation that we will form a connection. And I can see this happening because a lot of the people that I speak to have now reached out and said, where is God in all of this? When we see how fragile life is in this COVID-19 world that we find ourselves in. And yet in the isolation, we have come out of our mobile phones world to a certain extent, which I believe that AI, artificial intelligence, has actually led us to, in a sense, becoming more separated. When we look at social media, people seeing their identity in social media and these false images. And in that period, we've actually kind of emerged and realized, rearranged our priorities to kind of look and think, okay, where can I find my connection? All of a sudden, family is really important. Your friends are really important. It's, you know, you found yourself lifting your eyes out of, you know, the mobile phone and looking around you and actually realizing that in the isolation that you actually value the connection, because we are social creatures. And so it's in the isolation that we have found our connection. And so when the Bible tells us that we were created in his image, we were created in his likeness. And as I said, you will find that in Genesis, you will find at that time we were deeply connected to God. Well, when I say we, I'm referring to Adam and Eve as our past representation, quote unquote. And in the moment that she took off the fruit, when she took the fruit of the tree and she ate it, in that moment, you could say that heaven turned to hell. Now, what was heaven? That was a dream, that was an illusion, wasn't it? A dream is an illusion is a lie. What is a lie? A lie is something that is not real. So in that illusion, heaven changed to hell, and in a sense, we made an enemy of God. In other words, we were no longer one with his will. So in essence, what am I really saying here? What I'm saying is, we are perfect, we are whole, but the moment you do not see what you are, in other words, you've taken on an illusion that you are not as God created you, you start to walk in that illusion. But yet you are still whole and perfect, it's just that you cannot see it. And what I'm saying is that God is seeing your wholeness and he is seeing your perfection. So how can we wake up? How can we wake up from that dream? How can we wake up from that illusion? Well, the illusion is actually a judgment. When you think about it, that illusion that we have bought into is actually a judgment. A judgment that we see in Eve, that she is not enough. She has judged herself as not enough. Therefore, that's why she ate the fruit, to make herself whole, to make herself more. And coincidentally, isn't that the problem that we see nowadays? We always want more because we do not see ourselves as whole. We do not see ourselves as enough. And it can stem back all the way back to the Adam and Eve story, the birthplace of illusion. So when you have a judgment of, I am not worthy, I am not enough, what kind of energy are you going to project? What kind of vibration are you going to project? You're going to see a manifestation of that judgment. You're going to, the world, the reality will bend to you and concede to your thought because you are a creator. And it will say, your wish is my command. I'm going to give you evidence that you are not enough. So how then can we awaken from this illusion, from this lie? Well, we have to reverse what's done. So therefore, we have to judge not. Does that make sense? If you receive that in your spirit, just nod your head wherever you are. We have to judge not, because our restoration is actually a releasing of judgment. It's a releasing of the self-judgments that we've made about ourselves. And it's what I talk about mostly when it comes to relationships. It's mostly what I speak about in coaching, because it's the self-judgments that project a feeling. The feeling leads to the vibration that then calls in the type of person that you're attracting in your life. And then you make yourself the victim of something that you yourself have put out there, something that you are a part of. So my work is always about letting you know that you are the common denominator of your relationships. You create your reality. Now I'm going to say a really deep statement, and I'm hoping that I can explain it properly. He who judges will have need of idols. So imagine you've separated yourself from God. It's not even an imagination. It isn't in your imagination. You've separated yourself from God. alone in the wilderness. And then as human beings, what we do is we form idols, okay? And those who worship idols become willing slaves. For you to be willing to bow down to worship what has no life and seek power from that which is powerless, you've actually made yourself lower than a stone. So those who judge need idols. And the reason why you need idols is because it holds the judgment off of yourself. It holds off the judgment from actually resting on yourself. And you put it on the idol. So over the weekend, I watched, it was the Charlton Heston version. It was the Exodus, where Moses led his people out of Egypt, and they began to make idols. And I was looking at them thinking, you guys are so fickle minded. You've actually just come out of slavery, and God has shown you so much signs and wonders, and yet you decide, when Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, you know, he went up the mountain to seek counsel, and there he received the commandments. And while he was there, the people began to make idols. They made a golden calf. And I was looking at this thing thinking, you're creating something out of wood and natural materials, and you're saying that this thing has power, this thing that you have made, and you're worshipping it. So that's why I say those who worship idols are actually willing slaves. Because to bow down to it, you have essentially become less, lower than a stone. But then you think about all the other idols that we've made. What have we used as idols and put that in place of our God? Because essentially that is what an idol is. Because if you're not putting God first in your life, then anything else is an idol. And the thing is, when you put anything before God, you can't actually get to know who you are, because you were never made to be independent of God. That's why the Bible tells us that we must lean on his understanding, because we can never see the whole picture. We will only ever see a narrow perspective. There's only so far that our senses will allow us to see. So that's why we need to lean on the understanding of God. And when we don't do that, when we put false hope in idols, we cannot know ourselves, because we have actually denied ourselves. So therefore, we cannot know ourselves. Because essentially, going back to Adam and Eve, you've left the wholeness of yourself to one side, because you cannot see it, because you're actually focused on this illusion, this lie, that you are not enough. So it's very important for us to know our why we mustn't judge, because when you do that, you make yourself a part of this, a wicked dream, an illusion and a lie, where your idols, or you find your true identity in idols as opposed to God. So I want you to believe, especially at this time, that serpent is a liar. I want you to know that you are incredible. You are so incredible. You are so powerful. You are so wonderfully made. You are limitless. You're a limitless being. That is what your birthright is. Whatever God says about himself, you are also. You have access to God's power. You are a powerful being. So when I wake up in the morning, I say I am so blessed. I say I am so incredible. I say I am so powerful. You are so powerful. You are so wonderfully made. Beyond the scope of your imagination. And that is what the devil actually wants to rob from you. You were made in God's image and you were made in his likeness. And your power, your mind is just powerful beyond your imagination. And the devil doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to walk in a lie. He wants you to walk in a false illusion of yourself. And, you know, you can ask another person, what do you see in me? And that person will just reflect back at you your illusion. Because that person is also walking in an illusion. So your first port of call must always be to ask God, what do you say about me? I mean, I had to search the scriptures to see what God says about me. I encourage you to search the scriptures and seek what God says about you. Understand the depths of who you are. Understand what it means when God said that you're wonderfully made. Understand what it means when God said you are created in his likeness. Get to the marrow of the bone, not the meat and the bone. You know, just keep nibbling at the word. Nibble at it. Digest, then nibble some more until you get to the bone. And soon the pennies will drop. Because faith comes by the hearing of the word. And so when I'm coaching, I'm actually taking people through a restoration process, and it's an undoing process. It's a judging not process. It's an unraveling, a releasing you from the judgments that you've made on yourself and others. And the thing is that when you free yourself of judgment, you naturally extend that courtesy to others. Think about it. If you free yourself of judgment, in other words, you've been healed by something, you will extend that courtesy to others because you have a new filter over your eyes. Listen, God's kingdom has always been here. But if you can't see it, how then will you experience it? So I want to actually challenge you to an assignment. I want you to actually let me know what your I am is. You can send that to valerieacampbell.com/contact, or in fact, DM me on my Instagram, thesecretvibe.co.uk. Because I want you to take action and I want you to let me see your identity in Christ. I want you to search the scriptures and I want you to come back with a word of who you are and tell me where you found it and tell me why you chose that particular one. The more we share, the more we can build up one another in his name. So when you receive a healing to be free of judgment from others, you can now extend that healing to others so they are also free of judgment from you. So that's a big why as to your what. That's a big why as to why you shouldn't judge. And one of the things that I mention in my book is about living a life of maybe. See, when you live a life of maybe, it doesn't lock you into judgment. It actually opens you up to live a life that is open to an infinite myriad of possibilities. When you live a life of fear, that is actually a judgment. Fear is a judgment. Think about it. And to say maybe is to judge not. Think about it. Somebody brings a situation to you and you think, okay, maybe. That's judging not. And that's the path that you have to follow. Maybe this is my husband. Maybe not. And when you're in that state, when you're out and dating and you're looking at this person and you haven't put a judgment on them, and it's like, maybe this could be my husband, maybe not. Maybe this could be my wife, maybe not. Then it allows you to suspend judgment when you're actually observing them to see if they match with the criteria, with the intention that you've asked by putting out the intention of how you want to feel in a relationship. You're able to put yourself in a space and say, okay, let's see how this unfolds. Maybe I'll see how this interpretation that I feel like I want to put to it works out. Is it in fact God's way? So you have to keep your mind open. There's an old Chinese story, a Taoist story, that gives us insight on how to keep to suspend judgment. There was a farmer who had worked his crops for many years, and one day his horse ran away. And when the neighbors heard this, they said, "Ooh, such bad luck. Such bad luck," they cried, shaking their head. And chewing on a stick, the farmer replied, maybe. The next morning, the horse returned, bringing with it three other wild horses. "How wonderful, what great luck," the neighbors exclaimed. Still chewing on his straw, the farmer replied, perhaps. The following day, his son tried to tame one of the wild horses, was thrown, broke his leg. The neighbors once again expressed their sympathy for his misfortune. The farmer replied, maybe. The day after, some military officials came to take his son away, but they found out that his son's leg was broken. And guess what? They left him. "And what great luck," cried the neighbors. And what do you think the farmer's response was?
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.